We'd like to welcome everyone to our service here this morning. On behalf of the Hamner family, I would like to personally thank everyone for the prayers and calls and texts and concerns over Daddy this past week. He is out of the hospital. He was able to come home Friday. I guess it was Friday afternoon when we got him home. But we're very glad that he is back and back home, and his recovery will take a little while. He had quite a severe issue happen, but we're very thankful that he got the care he needed and was able to come home as quickly as he did. But we do want to thank everyone for that. You know, over this past week, I didn't anticipate getting a week off of work by any means. I'm usually one to never complain about that, but I certainly would have rather been at work this week than at the hospital throughout the week. But I've been thinking about just since Monday night when my family called me in the middle of the night and telling me what was happening to Daddy and then coming home and being in town all week, thinking about how us, and now I'm talking about my family, the Hamner family as a unit, was able to come together really quickly and take care of issues that had arisen. You know, for example, with Mandy and Alan getting to the house as quickly as they did to help Mama and Daddy, and then as the ambulance was coming, and then really throughout the week, all of the different things that we had to do to help make sure that, you know, things were working out well and that Daddy was able to improve. And that's what family does, right? We're able to step up and make sacrifices, make adjustments to our daily lives when things go wrong. We're able to step in and help others when they need help. I think about what happened with Mandy close to about this time last year, how we were able to do that when she was very sick in the hospital in Orlando. And when I think about that, I think about how we as a church do the same thing, do we not? We're very thankful for all the people who reached out to us, who reached out to me and Mandy, who called and checked in on Daddy, and who have been calling him since he's been home. And that's what family does, right? We step up and we help to take care of situations when they happen. When one of us is hurt, we react in an appropriate way to help whoever it is, however they need help. See, us together, we are part of this wonderful family, this family of God, which is referred to as in various names throughout the New Testament. We are part of God's church, Jesus' church, his kingdom. And this kingdom was prophesied many, many years ago in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. It says, "And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." You see, for us today who are part of the New Testament church, we are a part of this very kingdom that shall stand forever. And we should be very thankful, very grateful for that. And this morning, what I really wanted us to talk about was look at this idea of us being part of this family of God and see what we can gain from it. And I think the first thing that I want us to look at this morning is that when we are a part of the family of God, we should be of one body. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So you see, Because we are all of one body, as the scripture suggests, Christ should certainly dwell in all of us. Similar to how we talked about this morning, Jesus said, He said, I am the light of the world in John, but he also said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. We need to allow others to see that Christ dwells in us, and how we do that is in many ways how we act, how we carry ourselves, how we are around other people. And it's very important that people can see Christ dwelling in us. We also need to teach one another. You know, I've had a lot of really great teachers thinking about in college, high school, different places like that. I've had a lot of really great teachers that I learned a lot of great things from. We have a lot of former educators in this room who were great teachers who, you know, I think sometimes when you're a teacher, you don't really know the impact you have on people until maybe years later. I had a student. I was in Warner Robins in Wingstop, and had a student, a former student who took my class probably 10 years ago and came up to me and said, do you teach English? And I said, yeah. And she said, I took your class 10 years ago and told me how much she appreciated the class and how she was a teacher today. And you know, things like that do happen. And sometimes when you're in the grind of teaching, you don't always get that. But it's important that we teach others and that we learn from others, because there are a lot of people in the church today who know, quite frankly, a lot more than I do. And sometimes we have to humble ourselves and be willing to listen to others and to learn from others. And it is really crucial and really important. But also, sometimes we have to admonish one another, as the scripture says, which is not something we all like from time to time. For I would say from both sides, I don't particularly care to admonish people, and I don't particularly care to be admonished by people. And I think most of us are probably like that. But it is part of helping each other, strengthening each other, so that we can do as good as we can, so that we can all reach that goal, of course, which is heaven. And it's interesting, one thing that the scripture talks about is a way that we can teach and admonish each other. And I don't think we think about this as much, but we can do those things by singing, which is why it's so crucial that we participate in our singing when we are in worship, because that is a way that we can teach and admonish each other. And also, everything we do, we need to do in the name of Jesus and always give thanks to God. So those are some really important things that we learn from this particular scripture. Paul, he also talks about unity in Ephesians chapter 4, if you wanted to flip over there. He says, there is one body, and this is beginning with verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So you see, we should all be of one body and one spirit. And when we are of one body and one spirit, we're going to certainly work together. There's a lot of tasks, a lot of things that we have in our, think about in your daily lives. And sometimes there are just things we cannot do by ourselves. And that's the same case as us as a church. There are things we cannot do by ourselves. There are things here that the leadership, the elders, cannot do by themselves. We all have to come together. We have to be one. We have to be able to work together. And we should be willing to do these things, because notice what Paul says. We all have one hope. What is that hope that we have? And that is that hope of heaven, the eternal life. We are all striving toward the same thing. And since we are striving toward the same thing, we should be willing to work together and help each other. We all have one Lord, our Lord, of course, being Jesus. One faith. We all should believe the same thing, the same gospel that was given to the apostles. That's what we should be believing, and that's what we should be passing on. One baptism, one God, and one Father. You see a similar word repeated here? The repetition of the word one, right? We all should be one. That should certainly be our goal. And I think we have a really great pattern to follow when we think about how the Christians were that we read about in Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4, you could not keep those people apart. They loved each other. They were united. And in fact, Jesus, before he died, he prayed for unity. He prayed for unity for him and the disciples and for the coming believers in John chapter 17. And that was the fruition of that prayer that Jesus offered. And, you know, I honestly don't think we have any issues here of, in general, of getting along with each other. I think in general most of us like each other and like to be around each other and like to fellowship with each other. But the truth is, sometimes there are dissensions in the church. And we do have to be very careful not to fall in to trying to have things our own way, but following what it is God has given us. We need to be united like the first century Christians, and that means we should worship together. We should use every opportunity we have to worship together. We should evangelize together. In a lot of churches, people think it's the preacher's job to evangelize. And that certainly is the preacher's job to do. But you know what? It's also each and every person's responsibility to evangelize as well. We have to understand our personal responsibilities. If every single person in this room evangelized and brought one person with them next week, we would have double the people here. It's just that easy. It's just that simple. And certainly we need to provide help and support to people who are in need. When you read through Acts chapter 2 and near the end of Acts chapter 4, you see that the first century Christians took care of each other. When a person was hurt, when a person was suffering, when a person was in need, they gave to them. And that should be one of our goals of the church. We should want to give and help those who are in need. And like I said, you know, my family in particular have felt that this past week with Daddy being sick. When, you know, when something happens to our physical bodies, the other members of our bodies take over and try to make up and help for whatever it is the issue is happening. For example, if you get cut, typically the first thing your other hand does is grab the cut so it doesn't bleed. And that's something that happens naturally, right? The body will do that naturally without even thinking. And that should be how we are as a spiritual body. If something happens to one of our members, we should take action. We should help in the same way. So it is important for us to understand, as part of the family of God, we should be of one body. But also it's important to understand that even though we are of one body, we do have different roles and different responsibilities. And that's how it should be. It's important for us to understand that we do not, we're not all made the same. We're meant to have different roles and different functions. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 4 there. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith; if service, in our serving; the one who teaches, in his teaching; the one who exhorts, in his exhortation; the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And really what it comes down to is this. Each of us in the body of Christ have different strengths. And whatever our strength is, we need to use it for the glory of God. What your strength is may be completely different from what my strength is. And it doesn't matter what that is, but it is important for us to understand that whatever we can do for the cause of Christ and for the church, we are expected to do it. Another thing to remember is that we should not be jealous of other people's roles. Now, there are different roles within the church that get a little more notice than others. We know that's the case. We know that's true. The one who leads singing gets more notice than the one who unlocks the door or cleans the building. But just because we have a different role and a different function, we shouldn't get jealous of the other people who have roles that do get a little more notice. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is beginning with verse 15. It says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in his body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So our roles are different, and that's important for us to understand. And Paul says that the parts of the body that seem weaker, he goes on to talk a little further, but he says the parts that seem to be weaker are actually ones that are indispensable. So oftentimes, the roles that most people don't see or on a daily basis, those are the ones that are indispensable in the body and in the kingdom. And we need to remember that. If something is indispensable, it means it's crucial. It means it has to be there. We can't do without it. And it's also, Paul goes on to say, that there should be no divisions among us because of our roles. And there are times where, I've seen in the church, and I'm not, just referring to here, but there are times where tempers flare a little bit if someone gets an opportunity that someone doesn't get. What it comes down to, like we mentioned in Bible class this morning, what it comes down to is everything done should be for the glory of God, not for the glory of Philip, not for the glory of whoever. And that's something we certainly need to remember. It's all about God, and it's not about us. Unfortunately, we're human. We can't help it. Sometimes we make it about us. But that's not what it should be. We all have different roles. We all have the responsibility to the church, regardless of what our roles are. Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Because being part of one body means we work together. We are a collective entity, meaning the eye should not get more credit than the ear or the hand. And that's something that I think we really need to remember. That being said, even though we all have different roles and different functions in the body, it is important that we earnestly desire the high gifts. Paul said this at the end of 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 31. He said, we should earnestly desire the high gifts. And what that means is, that means sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone and do things that maybe something we haven't done before. Maybe something that we think to ourselves we cannot do. And the truth is, if we keep telling ourselves, I can't do it, you know, that's one thing. But we have to try. We have to at least try. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. I don't think he'll mind me telling this story. And of course, you know, I'm often not here on Wednesday nights because I'm in Warner Robins at the church there. But I have been told that there has been a new song leader on the singing nights on Wednesday night. And Billy, I've been told this, and one night my parents called me, they said, you will never guess who led a song tonight. I've known Billy since I was 13 or 14 years old, and in that whole time, from now to when I'm 36, that's not something he has done, but recently decided was something he needed to be willing, he's back there smiling, that he could do and can do. And it was probably very nerve-wracking for him to do the first time he did. But that's what it's about sometimes. We have to be willing to put ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Because the truth is, sometimes we don't know what we're capable of, but God does. The first time I was told to give an invitation. Here on a Wednesday night when I was a teenager, and I did not want to do it. And I'll tell you this, after I did it, I did not want to do it again. The truth is, we all need people in our lives who can see something in us that we cannot see in ourselves. We need an encourager, someone like how Barnabas was. He was an encourager. We need encouragers in our life who will tell us, you can do this, and you're going to do a great job. And it is difficult sometimes to step out of our comfort zone. And it also means we should push ourselves to try, even if maybe we fail the first time. I can tell you this. The first time I led a song, the first time I gave a devo, first time I gave a lesson from the pulpit, it needed a lot of work. And some of you may leave here today thinking, well, he still needs a lot of work, and that's true, I suppose. But we have to keep pushing ourselves to be better. We have to keep pushing ourselves to try. When we earnestly desire the higher gifts, that means that we give God our best, even if our best is not as good as the person's best sitting next to us. God expects us to give our best regardless of the capability of the person sitting next to us. And for the person sitting next to us, God expects their best. And we all have different roles. We all have different things we can do. And we're all expected to strive to do our best for the kingdom. But the problem is when we don't try. If we get in our mind frame, this is something I can't do, so I'm not going to do it. We have to push ourselves to try, even if it's something that is difficult for us. And then the final thing I want to mention this morning is kind of address the issue of what if some members of the body could cause problems or cause us to sin or stumble. You know, Jesus actually mentioned something just like this. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5, and he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. That's a very strong statement there. And if your right eye causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Something that Paul talks about, and it's not something we like to read about, it's not something we like to talk about very often, but one thing that Paul does talk about in his writings is church discipline. And that is when there's a member of the congregation who has done something that brings reproach upon the congregation. One thing that cannot be done is that the situation be left undealt with. Because what happens if there is a member of our body that's causing problems, the whole body suffers. And there are particular things that we have been instructed to do if that is the case. And of course, the first goal is to try to reconcile, try to reach the brother, go to the brother, try to address certain issues that are there. And as a last resort, the disfellowshipping of that person, and it should be a last resort. People, you know, leadership should not go into it thinking, all right, who can we throw out today? That's not the purpose of that. But the truth is, there are sometimes cases where members of the body do cause problems, and whether we think it or not, it can affect everyone else. I think a lot of times we think, well, I'm insignificant to the church at Dawson Road. Well, that's just not the case at all, because even if something goes wrong or a person does something that brings reproach upon the church, it brings reproach upon all of us. It affects all of us. If, if someone's appendix bursts, the doctor doesn't just leave it in there. What do they have to do? Have to remove it. Otherwise, the body can die. So, unfortunately, that is a tough truth that we have to consider. Sometimes there are members of the church who are not doing what they need to do or not living that Christian life, and it brings shame and reproach upon the church, but still, it has to be dealt with. But the good thing about the body, as in our church, if something like that did happen, Christ Church, if something like that did happen, that person can always come back home and make that situation right. You know, I think about the prodigal son. He was someone who the father desperately wanted to return home. And when he made that journey, when he saw him a far way off, he ran to him, meet him, fell on his neck, and hugged and kissed him. That's how happy the father was to see that person return. That's how happy God is to see that person return. The problem sometimes comes with the other people who have been here the whole time. There was ultimately a lost son in that story in Luke chapter 15, but it was not the son who was lost to begin with. It was the son who rejected his brother coming home. So when we find ourselves in situations where a brother or sister realizes they have committed sin, realizes they have been astray and want to return and come home, it is our duty and responsibility to welcome them back when they come home and repent of the things they have done. So that's something certainly we need to remember. God is always willing to forget and forgive, but sometimes it's the people here that have a little more difficulty with it. But it is something we certainly need to do. So I think this morning it's important for us to understand that we certainly do have this duty to the family of God. You see, we should be of one body, one mind, one spirit. We should understand we should understand that we have different roles, and we should also understand, regardless of what our roles are, we are expected to do whatever it is we can for the cause of the kingdom, for the sake of the church. And we also need to make sure that we are not damaging the body of Christ. Because thinking about what Jesus said, that's certainly not a great thought. We need to make sure that we are living our lives so that we do not bring reproach upon Christ Church and the kingdom of God. This morning, if you're here this morning and you have this feeling that you have not been a part of the family of God like you should have been, maybe the role that you've taken or the role that you feel like you could be doing, maybe you're not doing. You have an opportunity to make that right this morning, to confess, to ask for prayers. And it could be that you're here this morning and you're not even a part of God's family. Well, I can tell you this, there is no greater family to be a part of than the family of God. I think of the song we sing sometimes in the book, in the song book. It says, we're part of the family that's been born again, part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. Don't you want to be a part of that family today? If so, please come while we stand and sing.